Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Broad Experience, the show about women, the workplace, and success. I'm Ashley Muntite. This time, we all love a bit of inspiration in the form of successful women. After all, you can't be what you can't see, right? But maybe all that lionizing reveals an unpleasant truth.
That women need to be just utterly brilliant, utterly wonderful to get recognition. Actually, real equality boils down to not having to do that.
Coming up on The Broad Experience. Before we get into the show, a quick word about a former guest. She's been on the show twice in the last 18 months or so. I know a lot of you lead a team. And when you're a manager, your work is about more than just the work. It's about managing human relationships and enabling your team to get things done and thrive. It is not always easy. People management is a skill you develop over time when you make the commitment to learn. You can find Anne Libby's free monthly newsletter on management at people.substack.com. Each month, you'll learn about how good managers do their work and ways you can practice and learn. Anne is a noted management expert, and she also interviews experts and practitioners, and she writes and curates recommended reading for you about people management and workplace trends. The internet is full of advice. Some of it is BS. On Management is practical, topical, and smart. It's like getting a monthly email from an experienced mentor or your cool aunt. You can find it at people.substack.com. The last episode I did on caring for a parent was pretty serious, and this week's show is quite the change of tone. To give you a bit of context, for several years now, I've received a lot of emails at my Broad Experience address, often written by a PR person, asking me to interview some amazing-sounding woman. She's often a coach, sometimes a startup CEO or a corporate executive, and words like empowering, inspiring, and killing it are sprinkled throughout the email. But instead of feeling inspired, I just feel tired. So when I read a column by Polita Clark in the Financial Times last month, it hit home. The title, Women Must Demand the Right to Be as Useless as Men. I knew I wanted to talk to her about the ideas in that piece, and she and I spoke the other week. Polita is Australian by birth, but she's lived in London for 17 years. These days, she writes about modern corporate life. She's also covered aviation and the environment for the FT. And in the run-up to International Women's Day in March, her inbox is flooded with emails singing the praises of high-achieving females. Polita has been urged to write about a woman who, among other achievements, has climbed Everest.
A visionary doctor, entrepreneur, who looks amazing. This extraordinary businesswoman who turns out to be a quadrilingual vegan who floated a business in her 20s, and she works in refugee camps with the UN in her spare time and is completely unstoppable, was reading share prices to her father at the age of 4, and is a really extraordinary woman. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this at one level, and I'm always pleased to see women doing brilliantly. There's also no question, obviously, that there is a long, long way to go, that we have not achieved equality by most measures. But I guess what I find each year is something else that is kind of increasingly annoying, and it's kind of that tiring sense that women need to be just utterly brilliant, utterly wonderful to get recognition. And I think that that is something that I have thought for a long time, that actually real equality boils down to not having to do that, to just being ordinary and just doing your job. And in fact, you could even be potentially quite mediocre.
And just bumbling along and not worrying about your career too much. She says she began thinking about this topic intently when she came across a blog post by a senior woman in the UK.
She's a really experienced female director, ex-McKinsey partner, Harvard MBA, served on a lot of boards. And she literally, in a blog, which was based on a speech she did about the dearth of female chairs at big companies, she literally said, you know, at interview, we need to be twice as good as the men to overcome the gaps in our CVs and the perceived risk in being different. And I don't think we quite realise that. And I thought, oh, you know, okay, that's reasonable. I'm sure that's a reasonable thing to say. I'm sure it's a sensible thing to be thinking about. But you know what? It's really, really irritating in 2019 that we have to keep thinking about this.
It got her thinking about those notes she gets encouraging her to write about various Wonder Women, similar to the ones I get.
One of the things that I have found that your article crystallized for me and made me realize that I it was so hard for me to put my finger on it, is this thing of why do I cringe a bit when I get these emails? I feel mean. I feel like a bad person that I'm cringing slightly at all this wondrous achievement.
I know. I completely sympathize with you on that one. I feel very much the same way. But I think part of the reason, for me anyway, is that I just find it annoying to think that I have to be ultra brilliant and incredibly wonderful and supremely generous and fair and terrific and spectacular. I just really, it makes me feel like having a drink and a bit of a lie down. I mean, it's just wearying. It's tiring to think that implicitly, I think, the suggestion lies there that in order to be taken seriously and to really achieve, you have to be just an extraordinary woman.
I agree. I think the reason my eyes glaze over is partly because the emails all sound the same now, but it's also because I'm never going to be like that myself, and I wonder how many other women can manage it. I resist the implication that achievement means firing on all cylinders and sleeping 4 hours a night. I began the broad experience exactly 7 years ago. And back then, I rarely got pitches talking up professional women. So in a way, it's a sign of progress just being made aware that so many stellar women are out there with publicists, starting businesses, writing books, overcoming obstacles, helping people. It was after one very famous book was published back in 2013 that I began getting all these emails. The book, of course, was Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In. Before it came out, I felt like I was here in my little corner talking about all these experiences women had at work, but no one was really listening. Then Sandberg came along and suddenly everyone was listening and talking, and the amount of coverage on women at work exploded. To the extent that, for me at least, it all began to run together.
I think you're absolutely right that Lean In, Sheryl Sandberg's book, really did have a huge impact. It really did stir a lot of debate. But again, you know, it also really divided a lot of people. And I'm afraid I'm one of the people who think that, frankly, you know, why don't men lean out? You know, why do I always have to be the one? Why is it always women who have to do the changing? Why can't we just do what we feel like doing and not have to be constantly thinking about our behaviour, the impression we're giving? Generally, just if you think about what life must be like when you don't have to think like this all the time, which is quite obviously impossible, really, for women to think about, it's a very different way of viewing the world. And I think that that's probably part of the reason that this book that Thomas Chamorro and Premuzic has written on why so many incompetent men become leaders. I think that it's interesting to think about, I don't really want to say it's taken a man to write this, but I'm not sure that if a woman had written that book, it would have had quite the same attention.
And it would have attracted a whole bunch of haters. Why do so many incompetent men become leaders is, of course, a provocative title. The author originally wrote a piece along the same lines in the Harvard Business Review in 2013. In fact, it was partly in response to Lean In being published. In that article, he said he was surprised to see Lean In encouraging women to adopt what he called dysfunctional leadership traits.
He does put his finger on a really important point that applies to women and men, really, and that is that we have this annoying tendency to confuse confidence with leadership capacity. And his point is that very confident people who are often narcissistic walk into a room, own the room, basically have a huge amount of swagger and sway. They are statistically, he says, more likely to be men, but they find it a lot easier to get into top jobs. And that means that they squeeze out equally or perhaps more able, considerate, humble people. And that includes men as well as women. So his point is that we need to think again about our ideas of what good leadership entails. And I think that's absolutely right. And it would undoubtedly help a lot of women, but it would also help a lot of extremely pleasant and able men that I can think of who are overlooked for jobs on a fairly regular basis. And really, they're the jobs that are often taken by, I wouldn't say entirely, arrogant, loudmouth men, but I wouldn't say that I've not seen that either. I mean, I think it can be a fairly common occurrence in some offices.
In fact, author Tomas Chamorro Pramuzik says we might want to see swagger as something to avoid.
We need to just try to not be swayed, not to automatically think that just because somebody is very loud and very confident and seems to be completely on top of things, these actually sometimes can be warning signs that this person is not necessarily going to be a great leader.
And Polita says he goes further.
He says we should be giving preferential treatment to women. We should actually be actively discriminating in favour of female leaders.
Then again,
I can't help feeling a little uneasy about that, actually. There's something that I find a bit annoying about that, because again, it's kind of suggesting that there is an intrinsic quality that is based on gender, which is, you know, pretty much not what feminism is about, essentially. So, you know, I think no matter what one's gender, if one can lead well, then one should be rewarded for that.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
One much maligned leader who happens to be female is British Prime Minister Theresa May, or at least she was still Prime Minister when I recorded this. Polita says until there are more women in top roles, the urge to celebrate superwomen will persist.
In many ways, it's just a numbers game. I think the more women go into places where they're not necessarily feeling or not necessarily in the minority, then I think essentially things will change quite dramatically, and women won't feel as though they're standing out. They won't be feeling as if they have to be anything very special. They'll just be there and people won't notice. And in a way, you kind of see that happening already here in the UK with a female prime minister, quite a number of prominent female cabinet ministers. And really, it's quite interesting at a time when people are paying more attention than ever to politics because of the Brexit debate. I'm not saying there's no sexism whatsoever being attached to the portrayal of various women in the spotlight here at the moment, but really it does feel as though there's so many now that really people's gender is not really coming into it in this debate in a way that it might have 10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's interesting. And actually, that makes me want to ask, because I am removed from it over here. Has there been any sort of commentary on Theresa May's sex as, you know, going along with all the Brexit coverage? Are people trying to interpret any of her actions through the lens of gender?
I'm sure there have been isolated instances of it, but I really struggle to recall a really prominent one. I mean, one thing that's happened is that late last year and early this year, when things were getting quite intense, there was a huge amount of commentary where people were describing her as resilient. You know, she was very resilient. She was just ploughing on. She was really stubborn. She was not. She was refusing to be knocked over despite all the adversity she was facing. She was, and this word resilience kept being used again and again. And at first, I was thinking, you know, okay, so the unsaid words here are, you know, really resilient for a woman. You know, she's doing really well for a woman. But actually, colleagues who were covering John Major when he was struggling with Eurosceptics in his party said that actually the same sort of term, the same sort of descriptions were being used again about him. So I don't know. I mean, my sense is actually that really there's been quite a lack of focus on whatever she's wearing and whatever she looks like. And maybe it's because the issue itself, Brexit, is so enormous and so important and so all-encompassing
that there's no time or appetite for petty coverage around gender, although I wonder if some of my British listeners disagree. And finally, to the last part of Perlita's column, asking why women can't be allowed to be as useless as men.
To sort of round out your piece, you talked about, you said you've always harboured an urge to see an International Crap Women's Day. Why?
All right, so this is basically a joke, but semi-serious joke. So I just used to wonder, you know, what would it be like if you had an International Crap Women's Day where you were literally celebrating the right of women to be as rubbish as any man? You know, really, at one end, there's a lot to choose from. And you could have a lot of fun with it. There was a fantastic story here last year about a model from the UK who went off to Morocco and got so drunk on the way back that when she landed at Gatwick, she thought she was still in Morocco. And Elizabeth Holmes is obviously just, she would be a complete pin-up.
Elizabeth Holmes, in case you haven't heard of her, was a star of Silicon Valley. She quit Stanford University at 19 to start her blood testing company, Theranos. Over the next decade or so, it raised hundreds of millions of dollars in funding. She was touted as the next Steve Jobs. Today, she stands accused of massive fraud. I just finished listening to the podcast The Dropout, which is all about her rise and fall.
She is now facing a series of fraud charges, and the idea that she's the new female Steve Jobs has taken a bit of a tumble, unfortunately. There's any number of women that we could lionize in this way, and I think basically the idea would be to say, you know, look, see, you know, we're not perfect, we're not great, we can be just as bad and evil and hopeless and useless and ridiculous as men, but you know, so what? That's that is basically the point, would be that we do need the freedom to be just people, really.
On the other hand, many women want and need inspiration. They don't necessarily want to see a former icon disparaged. I read a snarky piece about Holmes in Refinery 29 earlier this year.
And it was very interesting to read the comments. A couple of women had a good point, because the writer had focused specifically on, at one point, on her hair colour and the fact that she dyes her hair, and the fact that you underneath that sleek blonde was really a mousy haired brunette. And it did actually come across as very sexist. And a couple of women commenters sort of took the writer to task on that. But at least one other said, you know, why are you focusing on this one bad apple? There are all these amazing women in Silicon Valley. You know, why can't you talk about them, kind of thing? Which takes you and I back to where we started.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, the difficulty with all of this is that, as we know, when women go to get money from venture capital firms, they really struggle. You know, there's that great case of those women who changed their name on letters and in emails to male or ambiguous names and suddenly started getting all of these meetings with VC companies in Silicon Valley. On the one hand, you can see why there is an urge to celebrate and publicise and promote these brilliant women, because there's an urge to say, look, stop thinking that we are useless. But the trouble is that, I guess, that in itself does then feed into this idea that we're going to have to be twice or three or four times as good constantly.
The bar, she says, is just too high.
Growing up in Australia in particular, when there were very few female leaders in politics, business, anywhere, when one of them stumbled or did something shocking or got into trouble, you felt as though it was a black mark. It was a problem for you. And even though it had nothing to do with you, and it was, why shouldn't she stumble and fall over and do whatever? But, you know, it was, I come back to it being about numbers and about the fact that, you know, there were very few women in these positions. And I just feel that the more that we become very used to having female prime ministers, as we are here in the UK now, the less we're going to be thinking much about the fact that they're female. I mean, you know, that's really the point that I'm trying to make here. Anyway, if anybody does feel like setting up International Crap Women's Day, I am, of course, always just a phone call away.
Perlita Clark. I will post a few show notes under this episode at thebroadexperience.com, including Perlita's original column. And as ever, I would love to hear from you. I'm sure she and I are not the only ones with opinions on this topic. Post a comment on the website, tweet me or email me, or post to the Facebook page. You can help support this show with a donation of any amount at the support tab at thebroadexperience.com. And if you can't give, just write a review on iTunes instead. Every little act of support helps. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.